War by Dr. Sherry Persenet.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. Second half hour of our history lesson discussion with Pastor Rusty Chatfield today, this Friday, February 2nd, 2024 edition, Your Defending Fathers, with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. We put those in for tags, Pastor Chatfield, for the podcast. We just went over this past week, over 400,000 clicks on the podcast. So people are listening on demand all over the place. We have IP addresses coming in from Florida. We have them coming in from Texas. We have them coming in from California. So podcasts are way up. Listen on demand anytime. Just go to the website, yourdefendingfathers.com, and click on podcast. And you'll hear that tag right at the beginning to make sure you're on the right day and time that you're looking for. So greatly appreciate it. Got a text message. We are an interactive show. We don't take phone calls. Tom in Petoskey, he has a question for you. He says, was Hitler named Man of the Year in 1938 because of his great influence over the German people, or was it out of admiration? He'd like to get your thoughts or perspective on that.
Time magazine defended themselves later by saying, yeah, he was just newsworthy. Like they picked Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini as and Stalin. He's newsworthy. But let me just tell you again, in 1938, there was a minority of Americans were supporting what was going on in Germany. There were a lot of German, there were a lot of Americans of German ancestry.
Descent?
Okay. Yeah, of descent. And they thought that what he was doing was pretty good. Charles Lindbergh, obviously named Lindbergh, is German, and he was a leader in the movement called America First Movement. And there were a lot of German Americans, stay out of the war. We don't want to fight Germany again. Now, all that stopped after Pearl Harbor, and then Germany declared war on us. And so we went into World War II very united once we finally got in.
Right.
But and remember, in 1938, okay, let me back up just a little bit. So he gets power in 1933. He never wins a majority, but and I don't understand the political system exactly of the Weimar Republic, how this happened. Hindenburg asked him to be the chancellor, and he's asked to be the assistant or vice chancellor. He refuses it. Then later he wants to be the chancellor, and then there's the burning of the Reichstag building there in Germany, and it looks like it was blamed on the communist and Hitler. Get some power that, you know, he can put down this rebellion that these communists are trying to kill us. And then he basically is able to just do away with all opposition. And he attains the power, I'll say this way, quasi-legally. And so that he has no opposition. By the mid-1930s, he has no opposition. He's the Führer. He's the leader. And he has a good propaganda machine going. His propaganda minister Goebbels was a well-educated PhD who understood propaganda, how to promote their cause. Boy, you got to have a good press secretary. You got to have somebody who knows what they're doing, that have the right image and so on. He was and he was talking about we're just trying to protect the Germans.
Right.
And so what he does, he remilitarizes the Rhineland, the section between France and Germany, takes that. Then he goes in and Austria basically opens the gates and he just annexes Austria. Then the Sudetenland, the land between Czechoslovakia and Germany, he occupies that. Then eventually he occupies all of Czechoslovakia. So without firing a shot, he does all this. In 1938, there's the Munich Agreement. in which this is the infamous thing where he says, I have no further territorial claims in Europe. And Neville Chamberlain comes back to Britain and says, hey, he gets off the plane and the wind's blowing. He's got a piece of paper in his hand. He says, we have peace in our time. High Hitler here has promised that that's it. He doesn't want anything else. Of course, he did want something else.
Sure.
And then September 1st, 1939, he invades Poland and hence the start of World War II. I mean, but he did an awful lot without firing a shot. And here's the story back then, and you can kind of understand. He said, well, why couldn't people see this coming? Well, they didn't want to see it coming. I mean, Churchill, who was in Europe, he was the only political leader of any substance that was saying, we can't trust Hitler. You cannot trust him, what he's doing. And but people just remember in 1938, we're only 20 years from what was called at the time the Great War. We call it World War I now.
Right.
Nobody wanted another war. In America? Are you kidding me? We didn't care what was going on in Europe. I mean, I saw a poll. There's like 80% of the American people in 1938 wanted nothing to do with Europe. And even after the war started, vast majorities wanted nothing to do with what was going on in Europe. Now, before that, you'd think that France and Britain would care, but they thought that they were protected. France had built this, what is called the Maginot Line, a defensive line between France and Germany. They thought that they were impregnable. And even when Germany invaded Poland, they felt bad for Poland. They were in an alliance with Poland. They did declare war on Germany, but they thought they were pretty safe behind the Maginot Line. But Hitler, in this new form of warfare that was coming at him called Blitzkrieg, he simply went around the line. He went through Belgium, went through the Dardanelles forest, through an area that nobody thought you could bring an army through that. He did. And this new way of fighting where you would – these pincer moves where you would surge through and then you'd circle smaller portions of your enemy's armies and defeat them. I mean, the fact of the matter is by 1940, we were lucky to get – we, I say the Allies, we're lucky to escape with anything at Dunkirk. It was a terrible defeat. France fell in so quickly, never expected it. And I don't think Germany expected it. So there, that was what had happened. And even in 1940, although Churchill was begging Roosevelt, help us, help us. There was no way Roosevelt could. The American people were not for it. They were against it. And it was a big mistake when the Japanese drew us into the war. A big
now,
mistake.
I want to stop you on that point because I have never heard a good enough explanation that I can remember. I'm sure I've heard it, but now that I'm 66 and developing this thing called CRS, can't remember stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Explain again, with Hitler doing all this in Europe, how was it that the Japanese, Japan, attacked Pearl Harbor on December 7, 1941, like you said, waking up the sleeping giant, getting us involved in the war. Explain that relationship again between Hitler and Japan, or okay, were they yes, independent of each other?
Not by then. By then, they had formed that alliance, the Axis powers, Italy, Germany, and Japan. By then, they had formed an alliance.
Okay, so Italy was Mussolini, right?
Correct.
Now, and Mussolini, why would he, with the little boot of a country where it's located, comparing it to Germany, what was their, Mussolini and the Japanese emperor, did they feel that America was getting too powerful, we were the evil enemy, et cetera, et cetera? Is that what kind of forged that bond between them?
Well, as far as Japan is concerned, they needed natural resources, and they did not like the fact that they were getting most of them from us or from territories and lands that we controlled.
Sure.
And they saw that as a danger. Now, let me just say this. You know, every country has a perspective, as did Japan. Is it totally unreasonable? No, I don't think it's totally unreasonable. It's wrong, but it's not totally unreasonable.
So because they were relying on us for natural resources, they saw us being able to potentially turn off the spigot, if you will, and shut down their economy, kind of like what is happening right now today in Taiwan, providing us microchips.
Sure, something like that. Okay. Or like, would you want, and we've been warning like today, I mean, Europe, Eastern Europe especially, I think most of Europe still gets an awful lot of gas, natural gas, not natural gas, but oil from Russia. Would you want to be totally dependent on Russia? Because it changes your geopolitics too when you get all your resources from a country. And so that was the position of Japan, and they were militaristic. They were nationalistic. They invaded, you could almost say that World War II began when the Japanese invaded Manchuria before Germany invaded Poland, but we didn't know it was going to, that didn't draw anybody into the war.
Right.
But it was in what we call the Rape of Nanking and terrible things the Japanese did to the Chinese. And remember, the Japanese and Chinese were long enemies. And it, when you look at history here, you see this. There's, you know, it's just like, and I've told you this before, but it's true. I've talked to a couple Europeans about, I've run into somebody, some in our church, and others that I've talked to that are European. Mm-hmm. And when you talk about what's happening in between the Ukraine and Russia, especially when the war started, I mean, the natural reaction in America was, you know, we need to help defend the Ukraine. It was kind of the, you know, we're not, Russia is a competitor, okay, at the least, if not an enemy, but at least a competitor.
Right.
But, you know, but there's a lot of Europeans, they really don't look at it exactly like that.
Interesting.
They don't. I mean, I'm a taken back and say, well, I'm not so sure. Because these countries, all these countries in Europe, they've got their own little gigs going on through there. And they've got a lot of history between themselves.
Right. Absolutely.
And I, if I'm an expert in anything, it's American history. And I have to watch European history because I have to teach it. But there's a lot of rivalries going on in Europe. For instance, between the Polish and the Russians, between the Polish and the Germans.
Right.
Now, Hitler's excuse for invading Poland was that the German minorities were being mistreated by the evil Polish.
Yeah, absolutely. Interesting. We'll wrap it up. Final segment, history lesson. We'll be right back.
If you are a PIE&G electric customer, call and get on the PIE&G Connect Express today. Call 800-423-6634 to get connected to the best, fastest, most reliable fiber internet connection in northern Michigan. Faster than Frontier, speedier than Sunrise, all at an affordable price. So call them today at 800-423-6634 and get on the PIE&G Connect internet train. All aboard!
Next time you need tires for your car, don't compromise. Michelin Passenger Tires strive to deliver outstanding safety, long tread life, and excellent fuel efficiency. Plus, they're famous for delivering a quiet, comfortable ride and precision handling to help ensure optimum safety for you and your passengers. Outfit your car with tires that deliver everything. Ask about Michelin Tires. Royal Tire and Petoskey has the right set of Michelin tires for whatever you drive. Stop in and see us today. Specific performance may vary by tire model.
Maybe you're looking to sell an old firearm that's been sitting around the house just collecting dust. Or maybe you've been thinking it's time to upgrade to a newer model or caliber. Either way, the place to go is Curtis Gunsmith and in Petoskey. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, they buy and sell pretty much anything that goes boom when you pull the trigger. Except rocket launchers, they don't buy or sell those. So if you're looking for a new firearm or just want to sell old Betsy, you're sure to get a fair price and friendly service to boot at Curtis Gunsmith and in Petoskey.
Take out the paper. Little Travers Disposal in Harbor Springs supports this radio station, and we would like you to support them. Little Travers Disposal is locally owned with hardworking guys that provide professional trash disposal for your home or business. You're already spending the money. Why not support a Northern Michigan-owned company who supports us? So call them today at 231-487-0780. Again, 231-487-0780.
Hey Patriots, veteran John here in Sheboygan. Taste the purest artesian water on God's green earth. MAGA water. PFAS-free, mineral-rich, naturally alkaline, 8.3 pH, veteran-owned. Go to MAGAwater.com or call 231-818-9700. That's MAGAwater.com or call 231-818-9700. Call us today to taste the pure difference.
Oh, yes, Mama Leone. Man, that brings back memories. Michigan State University, Lyman Briggs College, pre-med, 1977. Man, isn't it amazing how music can bring back memory so quickly to your brain?
Sure. Sure is.
It's amazing. Hey, I wanted to ask you, too, to wrap up this final segment, but I want to talk about church on Sunday, and I want to talk about the listenership of people listening to you on the radio for church services. I want to get into that, but let's wrap up the history lesson and make your final points, and then I have something to say to you.
Okie dokie. So World War II begins. Great victories over Poland, victories over France. I mean, he's sitting really well in 1940. Two mistakes. He listened to Goring, head of the Luftwaffe, and he said that we can take Britain out of the war just by ear power. Mistake. You couldn't. They didn't. Never in the field of human conflict has so much been owed by so many to so few. That's Winston Churchill about the RAF. They lost so many planes, the Germans did. They gave up on bombing Great Britain into submission. So that was kind of a loss because they didn't win. Okay. The big fatal mistake, I think they called this Operation Barbarossa, invasion of the Soviet Union. The idea that we could, what Hitler wanted was elbow room, living space is what they call it. There's a German word they call it. He thought, you know, there's so many Germans living in Eastern Europe. We're gonna take down the Soviet Union. We'll invade. We'll take Moscow and Stalingrad and Leningrad. And they had a lot of victories initially, early. But the Russians didn't quit easy, and the Russian winter got them. And so by 19, a huge defeat in 1942. And then in 43, more defeats. And eventually D-Day, 1944, the reinvasion of Europe at Normandy. That's the rest is history, of course. If Hitler would have just said, okay, I've got all I want. But you know what? It's not in the nature of dictators to do that. No conqueror dictator ever says, I'm satisfied. It's just right. It's not in your nature to do it.
Sure.
The German people. I was telling my class, you know, back when we were kids, if a person would have gone to the blackboard when I was in elementary school and drawn a swastika, you'd have got kicked out of school for it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was – you never would say anything about – because we're only a few decades from the war.
Yeah.
And Germany is just now starting to show a little bit of patriotism in their own country.
Yep.
It's taken them 70 years because they did start World War II. I don't know. There's just no justification in what Hitler
yep.
did.
Absolutely.
And the concentration camps, 80 million people. That's the number I go with anyway. Killed during World War II. And the concentration camps, the final solution on the Jewish question, it's terrible. The whole thing is terrible.
Yeah. Well, you bring back flashbacks for me when you said that, because I was in kindergarten Mrs. Cusack's class, Yule Elementary in the corner of 23 and Shelby Road. And some boy in class was saying, Heil Hitler. And I heard him say it and thought it was kind of an interesting phrase or whatever. Came home from school. Dad got home from work. Mama had the roast beef, mashed potatoes, and green beans on the table. So, Randy, what'd you learn in school today? And I said, well, I heard this boy say something, Dad, and I don't understand it. Heil Hitler. And my dad slammed his fist down on that table so hard, Pastor Chatfield, the plates bounced off the table. That's how hard he hit it.
No joking. There was no joking back in those days. None.
Do not ever, ever, boy, say those words out of your mouth. Do you understand? And I swelled up in tears. I was scared out of my pants. You know, I afraid I was going to hear that leather belt come ripping through those belt loops, and that sound of fear goes into you immediately. You know, my dad, I'm so sorry. Never again, not in my house. End of discussion. I don't want to talk about it. Man, right on, because that's just the way they lived it. He got shot in the leg by a German soldier.
There you go. That's a big deal. There's no joke. No joke.
Yeah.
No joke.
Every day of his life, he had to deal with that pain that he had from that shot. Hey, I want to ask you about Sunday, because so many people are people physically coming to the church on Sundays, or is your church attendance dropped a little bit?
It's dropped a little since for a couple of years. But, yeah, we have, you know, usually 80 or 90 people. 100
people. Okay. Because I'm getting text messages that people, they're thanking me for carrying your church services on Sunday. You've got a lot more people listening on the radio than you know. And, you know, they're saying, you know, we can't make it out there. We've got health issues, you know, the price of gas. I mean, we're talking people up in the UP. I've got people over in Presque Isle County. You know, a lot of folks are listening to you. So I just wanted to make sure you're aware of that. And you guys take it so serious, you know, being on the radio. Timing is working out perfect. The public service announcement you're giving for the station ID at the top is satisfying all my haters that I stopped getting those comments. You know, you're violating FCC rules. No, we're not. He's doing what the FCC regulatory rules require. And I just wanted to make you aware of that, and thank you very much for doing it.
Oh, I appreciate it. I run into people often that listen. Hey, so praise the Lord. You know, we'd like you to go to church, but whatever. I mean, I'm glad you're listening, though. There you go.
Right.
And, you know, our church is, we're kind of well-known in the sense that, you know, we stand for things. There you go. We stand for something. And we're an independent fundamental Baptist church that preaches the word of God, and you need to be saved. So there you go. I can't apologize for that.
Nope, not going to. Craig says, yes, Pastor Chatfield's message is getting out. And John Palmer in Onaway says, I listen every Sunday.
Amen. So, praise the Lord. Thank you.
All right. Everybody. All right, buddy. God bless you, sir. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Okay. Amen.
Final hour of today's show. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop.
My name is Todd Spalberg. I'm running to be your state representative in the 106th District. One of the reasons that I am running is because our current public education system is failing our children. I support real, common sense policies and approaches to education and the safety of our children. All parents have a right to decide on their children's education, not the government or unions. I will fight to ensure that. After all, they are our most precious resources we have, and they are worth the fight. Vote for me, Todd Spalberg, electsmallenberg.com. Paid for by Todd Spalberg for state.
Had enough of career politicians? I have. Hi, I'm Dr. Sherry O'Donnell, running for U.S. Senate. It is time to cure Washington of politics as usual. I have the backbone, knowledge, and guts to fix illegal immigration, inflation, and national security. I will protect our freedoms. It is time we cure what ails America. Vote Dr. Sherry O'Donnell for U.S. Senate. Paid for by Dr. Sherry for Senate.
Gun owners in northern Michigan don't have to go far to get their firearm problem solved. Curtis Gunsmithing handles all gun work, adjustments, bluing, rebarreling, cleaning, and even FFL transfers. Need a stock refinished or some custom work?